Sometimes people say things like, you know, these things, people know that, you know, this is, I'm referring to something that happened somewhere my wife went and they were having this discussion amongst Christians. This is how you feed your family, this is your business, and they say if you don't do it like that, they won't give you the job. Listen, do not love your life even when faced with what? Death. If you say, listen, you know, problem with people that they have not made up their minds about some things. If you say, you know, that's what the Bible calls the corruption that is in the world. Let me tell you something. You have to be careful when you are participating in things in life. Let me say what I'm saying. Listen, God told the children of Israel, I'm bringing you into the land, not because of your righteousness, but I'm taking them out because of their wickedness. He now said to them, if you do the things that they did, I will also remove you the way I removed them. Listen, this is how this world is. When the Bible says there's corruption in the world through lust, corruption is decay. Decay is not just corruption of we steal money, we get confused. The Bible's word for corruption is that something decays. He said, you will not let your Holy One see corruption. That is, Jesus was not going to decay in the grave. That is, when you say corruption, that is, businesses collapse because of something in the world. When you say corruption, it means marriages fail because of something in the world. When you say corruption, it means diseases come into life because of something in the world. Listen to this. The only way to escape the decay that is in this life is to run away from the lust that is there. He said, by the promises of God, we have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It is that we use the word of God to run away from the lust. We cannot participate in the lust and not experience the corruption. It's not possible. It's not possible. Listen to me. If you, as a Christian businessman, you are making money by violating contracts, by bribing, by kickbacking and kickforwarding, listen to me, your business will not last. You will go the way of all flesh. You will die like the world. Your family will have problems. I'm not kidding about it. You have to make up your mind. There are certain things you will not get involved with in this life. That's what we're talking about. You make up your mind, say, this one, before you start, this one I will not do. They say, there will be no job for you. Then let there be no job for me. I will join those boys on the road and sell recharge cards if that's what it will take for me to eat. It gets to a time you say, all right, if every government contract is like that, then I'm sorry, for now, I will do no government contract. If every government contract must be inflated, because a legislator, a governor, a special assistant must collect his portion, then I will not do. A sister told us once, she said, it didn't really happen, one of our dear sisters, where she was working, she was in charge of a health something that will help people. And the DG in the ministry said to her, this is your money, it is ready. That is for the job. But the money is supposed to be 2.5 million. All you are getting is 1.7. You sign for 2.5 and you will get 1.7. The question was, how do I handle it? This was her reasoning. She said she thought about her patients. She thought about the things that she will manage to do, which if she refuses, she will not be able to do. So she just said, the sin is on the man's head. So she signed, they gave her 1.7. I can't remember the exact figures. And she's an honest person. She spent every kobo of whatever she was given for her patients, for her work, for everything. So that was our discussion. So she brought up the matter, said, my brethren, what should I have done? And I want to answer it for you here now. Let me first tell you straight what to do. You tell the man that I will not lie because of you. Neither will I lie because of those patients. That I'm a child of God. My words are supposed to dry up trees. If I put my signature to paper that I collected 2.5, it must be correct to the last kobo. If you will not give it correct, I leave it. However, sir, this is for patience. Under God, I swear to you, I was not planning to take one kobo. So if you withhold the money, it is between you and God. Any wise man will know you just placed a curse upon his family. You just said for every patient that dies, you will pay for it. For every man that doesn't get his drugs that was supposed to get it, your family will suffer. But sir, I won't put my pen to paper if that money is not complete. He said, then your work will not get done. It will get done. It's the point of death. Your work will get done. That is what is called the point of death. If you pass through that and you resurrect, I don't want to use the word survive. You pass through that and you resurrect. Your name will go out. They will say, that one, I beg you, leave the matter. Who is the one signing for the job? That one. One cup of noodle drop. And listen, if you don't want your son to fall sick, better sign that paper. We have to be careful when we say this, but it's actually something Christians have to learn. Jesus said, the Father judges no man. He has committed all judgments to the Son. You know what that means? Till now, he's judging nobody. He's committing the judgment to the church. The problem is that the church doesn't have the power to judge. Please, take this message to every pastor. Tell them any day politicians in Nigeria of today, this is 2015, I know in 2016 it will be different. Somebody say amen. But as of today, if they come to church for that day, no special offerings, no thanksgiving. Please, this country, you know, I tell you I'll link to a message, right? That man made statements that I've made here again and again and again. In fact, I started checking this conference held in 2013, a prophetic conference somewhere in the United States. I started Googling up, but my internet was bad where I was in the worry there. So I really couldn't find out. I wanted to know when the 2015 one would be. That if I finish listening to these guys, and I keep on having this feeling, I want to know the 2015 one I want to attend. Because the man made a statement. This man is 70-something years old. Let me tell you the kind of prophet that he is. He said something that was very funny. I laughed when I heard it. He said he was standing, his wife said, honey, there's an angel out here. He wants to see you, but he wouldn't talk to me. That's the kind of prophet that he is. The wife saw an angel and said, what do you want? I said, the angel just refused to talk to her. So she got the point that you want to talk to my husband? He said, yes. So she said, honey, there's an angel out here, but he doesn't want to talk to me. So he came out and saw the angel and said, what do you want? And the guy said nothing, but handed him a card. So he stretched forth his hand and took the card. And on the card it was written, your attention is needed urgently in the second heavens. So he looked at the angel, read the card, and it was, as he was looking, the angel just went, phew, and disappeared. So he said he read the card again. The card was still in his hand. And as he was reading the card, it disintegrated like, you know, what's the name of that film? Mission Impossible. Your mission, if you are to accept it. He said, he just read the card again, and as he was looking at it, the card began to disintegrate, turned to dust, and blew off from his hand. So he said, well, he went into the house. Well, he was drinking coffee. So he said he finished his coffee. I told his wife, okay, I'm coming. I entered the house, knelt down, and said, Lord, well, I don't understand that message, but whatever it is, here I am. Boom! That's it. Suddenly found himself in a room. I won't give you details beyond that. In that place, there were saints of old. And there were, I mean, things began to happen anyway. Let me stop there. The other one I referred to earlier is one of the preachers that I preached in that conference. Why I refer to this man was that he made a statement that you've heard me make here many times. He said the state of every nation is a reflection of the state of the church. I wanted to write it down. I said, but what am I writing down? I've said it many times. He almost used my words, word for word. That the nation can't change until the church changes. He's an Australian. He came from Australia. And listen, why I mention that is that the church lost control of life, like our country. The church lost control because it cannot stand boast that this corruption money, we don't share it. It can't. Look at the fight they are fighting now, APC, PDP. APC is claiming that PDP gave some pastors 7 billion naira to share. Pastors are having to come up to deny. Shame. See shame all over my face. Listen, forget the fact that they are denying or not denying. One thing I can assure you, money changed hands. That's what we be. Now we. That's what they do. I can assure you, money changed hands. That's why they lost control. Are you getting my point? That is where we lose control. What am I explaining? There are things you just make up your mind and say, I want to. This is a major problem in the world today. So, in Nigeria of today. So, as a church, we say, no. If you inflate contracts, we will not participate. And listen to me, if you are listening to me and I'm teaching you the word of God, I'm instructing you, don't get involved. There are other ways to make money. I know people in this town. They can beat. I told you once, Pastor told me he was talking. He was talking to people abroad. You know, by investing in Nigeria, they say Nigeria is corrupt. He said, yes, I agree. Many people there are. He said, but not everybody. He said, I've held government office before. He said, let anybody. He said, I can stand on the top of the World Trade Center then before Al-Qaeda brought it down and beat my chest that I've never received $10 from anybody. Listen, that's what you should be going for in life as a Christian. Like this one of inflation of contracts, no Christian should get involved. Any money you sign for must enter your hand complete. If it's not complete, don't sign. The problem, you know why we sign? Two reasons. There's the fear of death and there's covetousness. Fear of death is, hey, what thing with your chop? Children are going to school next week. My money will quickly come out. That is what I call fear of death. There's covetousness that you are not poor. You just want more money. Both of them are evil. Both of them. That is why you make up your mind ahead that I will not defile myself by any of these things that they are serving. I think preachers should make up, one of the things preachers should make up their minds that look, as long as you are in government, like you are a governor, if you give me money, I will not take. Say, but it's my personal money. Say, God, give me when you have left office. God, please help me. I want to say this in front of your people. I'm not saying I'm strong. I'm just telling you to help me. So that, sweetheart, I'm saying it now. You help me. You remind me. And they tell you I'm going to government house as a preacher. Say, man of God, you said no honorarium more. They come and pray for government, governor. Pray for him. Apart from the food you will chop there and the wine you will drink, is it bad to take a bottle of wine when you're going? I'm asking. Is it bad? It's good. Okay. Apart from things as mundane as that, but this exchange of cash, 50,000 naira in an envelope, 200,000 naira, I will not accept. No matter how honest it is, just for now, I think in Nigeria we need it badly. That's what I'm saying. We will still eat and be fat. Don't worry. I want it to be that getting connected with a governor, a president, Senate president, things like that, is not a source of prosperity for me. Because if I don't do that, my prayer against corruption is ineffective. It's ineffective. It's very, very ineffective. These are the points of death you will cross in your life. But I said to you, when you are resurrected, death will no longer have dominion over you. Many Christians, their business, listen to me, let me tell you something that's going to happen. You may be listening to this, either you are physically present, or you are listening to this by CD or on the internet. Listen to me. Your life, if you really want to walk with God and be great in life, let us assume that God has called you, for example, into the ministry of giving, which I will talk about later. This is one of the things that will happen to you. Up till now, the businesses you built up with those worldly methods, hear ye the word of the Lord, it will collapse. it will die, you are going to ground zero. You are going to ground zero. That one is not even the death we're talking about. That one is the death of repentance. You are going to ground zero. I don't care how heavily you have built it. And let me tell you something. If you sustain it by force, if you reject this word I'm giving you, if you sustain it by force, you will notice you are going to have to sustain it with the same way you started it. The way you get a result is the way you sustain it. And listen to me, so that your soul will be spared, God will have to destroy your body. The only chance you have for life, for joy, for happiness, is to let it collapse. What will happen after that? A number of things. One, some people who were not sent into business will go and find another job. Maybe you're supposed to be a preacher, you will now preach. Maybe you're supposed to do something else, you will now do it. But these are not people I'm talking about. Let me back to you that's supposed to be in business. Then you will start business again. Then when you start rapidly, early, you will get to the point of death. In which somebody will say, now this is the way forward. And you say, I have learned to. I am not doing. You will say to them, I am not doing. Now you are getting to the point of the death I'm telling you about. And hear ye the word of the Lord. When you come out in resurrection, that first business that died will look like a joke compared to where God will take you to later on in life. This time around, you will get to a kind of level. I need to give you this word because the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, Jesus Christ endured the cross. The cross can be tough. You need to know the joy set before you. The new level you will now get into, let me tell you what happened to you. If you don't wake up, you will make money. If you sleep early, you will prosper. If you go to work, you will prosper. You will discover what the Bible means that when it says that he gives to his beloved even while they sleep. You will literally see angels bring favors in your direction. It will happen that one phone call, one 10-minute meeting, do you understand, will make enough financial returns in 10 minutes than in your former business you did in a whole year. A whole year of not sleeping on time, meeting strange people as in strange places. You have had to resist, assume you're a good person, you know, the kind of sexual temptation you have had to resist. It has drained your energy. Because when you are meeting them, you see girls of low virtue all over the place. And you say, they are my clients. But this time around in resurrection, if anybody enters the office is not properly dressed, you say, my son, go outside. If your business, you know, if your client comes in and the girl is hanging on his shoulder and you say, is that your wife? No, I'm sorry, I don't do business with adulterers. Get out. Everybody will start shaping up when I come to see you. And with all of this, you know, difficult nature you have not developed, you'll be making in one day what you did not make before in a year. No wonder Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I pray that Christians will understand the power of resurrection in business. And your business, when your life or your ministry has gone through death and you wake up again. Hey, I like the story of Dembo Shakare, happiest people on earth. When he started Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship International, he struggled, did everything. Finally, one day he said, I'm not doing again. He was not even committing what you and I would call sin. No. It was just sin in the eyes of God using a very high standard because he was using his flesh. After he has struggled, people say, when you come to Texas, we do things big in Texas. He had done things big in Texas and they have come out small. Had a big hall, did adverts. He showed up that the only them that were organizing the meeting came. He had done all kinds of things. Finally, last he was tired. He said, in fact, one of his good friends said to him, things had better change by the next meeting. Otherwise, I'm out. Another told him, listen, Demos, I think you should be wise, shut this thing down. So that evening, he and his wife decided that we are shutting this thing down. And that evening, he tripped, I think, and fell, and entered into visions and revelations of the Lord. And the Lord began to show him in effect. In fact, his wife was playing the piano, and she began to prophesy. I was running a commentary on what he was seeing in visions. And God began to show him that, listen, this thing cannot go by your strength. It cannot go by your power. It has to be by me. It is what I do. It's not what you are doing. That day was when full gospel businessmen entered into resurrection. The same friend who said the other day that this is not worth $10 came, gave him the first check, $1,000. I hope I'm not mixing the stories now. And that one came and said, I want to donate my press. Let's pick a magazine. Let's start a magazine. What will you call it? He said, it will be the voice of King of Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship International. He said, good. That's a good name for it. Full Gospel's Voice. That's how come they have the magazine, Voice. One after the other, the thing began to pick up. It got to a time, I don't know how many times the man came to Nigeria in his life. Nigeria as a country today has the largest number of chapters of Full Gospel. Tell your neighbor resurrection.
Resurrection.
Tell your other neighbor resurrection.
Resurrection.
Listen, that's what we're talking about. We go through death. We come out in what? Resurrection. But remember, it must be that we do not love our life even unto what? Death. We do not love that ministry even unto death. Demos Shakarian was ready to give it up when his own method wouldn't work. Said, well, maybe we'll miss God. And God said, good. Let us now do this thing my way. I feel like talking to those in that business again. When, listen, the resurrection, the death time can be difficult. I need to emphasize it. Jesus, when he was going to go through death, he knows in a war. He prayed and prayed and prayed. How can a business you have built for the last 15 to 18 years? One pastor now says that you should let it die because you don't want to continue giving bribes and cutting corners. You know, in life, I take life slow. What did I say? Answer me now. Because you didn't take it so slow. Your wife is used to every 2 months going to shop in Paris. So now you are saying, madam, I can't travel again. Yes, that's what I said. Ogbete is not a bad place. At least we have the mall here, right? You go to a shop, right? Go to all those shops in the mall there. It's not a bad place. That's what some people think is death. You withdraw from your children from certain schools. It's good. A quarter of that money, use it to hire youth corpus. They will train your children very well for you, I'm telling you. That's death. Where you had the voice before, you won't have it anymore. It's called what? Death. The process of death, I'm not saying it is easy. But it must be done. Without it, resurrection power will not come into your life. That's what I'm saying. You know, I've not come today to preach a gospel for you. It shall be well. Yes, it will be well. I hope you notice that it shall be well. But before it becomes well, it shall be dead. It shall first die. That's the point I'm making. Let's read the last scripture, then I begin to close. I hope you have been blessed anyway. These are Christians that are supposed to live life. That's the next one we are going into. The book of Galatians chapter 2. Remember, we lose control of life when we are too attached to this world. We lose control of life when material things matter to us so much that they control us. That's when we lose control. We lose control of life when worldly fame, worldly success is what's most important to us. That's when we lose control. But how are we supposed to relate with things? And that's the next thing I want to explain again. We have to do it like Paul did. And there's just a few verses here that's relevant to what I want to bring out, even though we are taking it a bit out of the context. We are lifting it up from a context. But let's just read a bit of the context. Paul was explaining here how life is for him. From verse 15, you know where I'm going is very far, just my habit. I'm just looking for where my Bible breaks into a paragraph. From verse 15, he says, "We are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, because of that, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ Jesus and not by the works of the law. Since by the works of the law, no flesh should be justified." He now went ahead to say, in verse 18, he said, "If I rebuild what I once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor." He said, "But I will not do that. For through the law," now that's where I'm going in verse 19, "for through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God." He said, "I have been crucified with Christ." I like the way the King James says, "Nevertheless, I live." It's not said here, but he said, "But it is no longer I who live, but Christ." I'm in verse 20 now. "But Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." Please, for certain reasons, I want to read that portion in another version of the scriptures. I'm looking for something, actually. Well, because of time, let me just read this and introduce it. And the next time, I'll explain it further, all right? I'll locate what I'm looking for. But I like the way King James says it's something that I like there. He said, "I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." Now, what I want to bring out from here, which is the next thing I actually want to get us to go into, is part of what we're discussing, is how a Christian should live the life that he has now. Now, what do I mean by that? Listen, life as a Christian is a totally different ballgame. You know, I keep on saying that. The other time I explained that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. I explained that. For us Christians, life is a totally different ballgame. The way we approach life like people who are literally dead to this world. That's what I'm going to bring out. Through the death of Jesus Christ, the world has been crucified to us, like Paul said, and we to the world. So even though we are physically alive, Paul was saying, the principle by which we live this life now is different. We live this life by the faith of Jesus Christ. And you see what I'm talking about maybe from next time. Again, nothing new, but we're just using different ways to explain how Christians face life. One of the reasons why what I described earlier, going through death is easy for Christians, is the fact that they realize that they have died already. Let me quickly see what I'm saying here. If you realize, let's take that business as an example, that it is not my property, it's the property of the Lord Jesus Christ. For that reason, I do exactly what he says. I run it exactly the way he wants it to be run. You are getting what I'm trying to explain? And if anything happens to it, I know it is not mine. I report to him. And if he says that, okay, don't do anything about it. Don't ever forget. If God says an axe should fall, and you hold it so that it does not fall, you die. Do you hear what I said? If God says an axe should fall, and you hold it so it doesn't fall, you are behaving like Uzzah. One of the reasons why the ark will need to fall is to show the David that what he's doing is wrong. So when you steady the ark, you are preventing David from getting his lesson. Now, but what I'm going to bring out here is this. If I recognize that the ark is not mine, if the owner of the ark says it should fall, listen, it falls. Unto him it falls. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is his ark. What am I trying to say? That's why we can do things. That's why we can go through death. Because we realize that this life actually doesn't hold anything for us. We are just here to work. Please, I hope you are getting my point. Listen, Christians must realize this. What it means to live by the faith of Christ, like Paul said, for me to die is to be with Christ, you understand? And it is far better. But for me now, he says, to live is what? Christ. He said, to die is gain, because I'll go and be with the Lord. But to live, he said, is Christ, which means that I am performing an assignment on this earth. And that's what I want to talk about next. I want Christians to start seeing everything they do literally as an assignment. This has been the thing I go around once in a while. I might preach for 3 years, I get back to it. When I was in Nowhere, I explained something to them using this, just talking about this. As everything you do in life as a believer is an assignment. As a Christian, you own nothing. Your wife is not even your own. Your husband is not your own. He said, whose wife is it? The wife is the wife of Christ. The husband is the husband of Christ. Are you getting my point? The children are the children of Christ. So what am I doing there for? I'm just a slave of Christ. Why did I marry this woman? I married her for 2 reasons. One, to help her become more like Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm telling you, that's number one reason. You didn't marry your wife to please even your village. So you know you are now of age. We Christians don't do that nonsense. You know, I tell my wife all the time, I say, listen, this guy is very good, you married me. It's very, very good. There are two sides of the goodness. There's a good in which what she has been doing for me, I understand? But I'm talking about what I've been doing for her now. My wife has zeal. You know, she and Jedidiah, they are the same thing. They have zeal. What did I call it? When I was coming today, I was telling Yinka. I said, sometimes my wife will tell me that, husband, I'm going to Turkey. I said, I just be looking. The Turkey where I know na tolo tolo. So you didn't say anything. I said, what do I need to say? One day she looked at me and said, what is wrong with going to Turkey? I said, nothing wrong, except that you married a crazy man who thinks you should not go. Shehu can end the discussion there. If we start discussing, and that's why we say it is good, it is bad. I said, your husband is a crazy man. He does not understand why his wife should go to Turkey. And is that not your husband? He's still your husband, so you're not going to Turkey. The Lord is good. My wife is looking at me like, you mean I'm not going to Turkey? The Lord is good. I told my wife, I said, listen, God anointed me to keep you in control. You understand my point? Because people like my wife, they have energy. There is nothing you tell my wife to do that will not succeed. If my wife is a member of your church, you're a blessed pastor. I'm telling you. I said, but you see, that energy has to be channeled and controlled. Number one reason, all right, why I married my wife, why we marry, is to help each other become more like Christ Jesus. Yeah. There are certain aspects of me I would never notice, except I married the kind of wife that I married. The primary reason is to help each other become like Christ Jesus. Number two, of course, which is a derivative of number one, is to help each other fulfill the assignment of God for each other's lives, which usually is joined together once you're married. Are you getting my point? Both of you will do something to fulfill the call of God for your life, which you do better being married. That wife is not your own. That husband is not your own. You don't treat them like they are yours. You treat them like they belong to Christ, and he has given you a job to do for him. Husbanding a wife is an assignment. Wifing a husband is an assignment. Look at it like that. And when you want to pray, pray with that in mind. Another example is those children, I said. They are not your own. They don't belong to you at all. You're not their father. You're not their mother. You are the senior servant of God. They are the junior servants of God. They have come to your house to be trained. That's what they have come to do. You know more about God than they do. For that reason, you know, when they are born, God, either it's the demons or the angels, I don't know. Some people are arranged and put foolishness in their heart. And God allows it. Then they come to your house, and God now teaches you how to use whatever method necessary to restore them to godly setting. Are you getting my point? Whatever it is, you now reset them to a godly setting. It's an assignment. You must do it for God. Even if you say, I don't like flogging children, it's not what you like. This child is not your own. The child is a junior servant of God sent into your house for spiritual training. You nurture the fellow in godliness and say, this is how they do it in the kingdom of God. This is Jesus boy behavior. This is Jesus girl behavior. You train them so they are young. They are not your own. So when they grow up one day, this example I gave at Owerri, I said, if my first son comes up one day and says, Daddy, God has called me to ministry. Assuming I'm not a preacher, I'm a businessman. God has called me to go and preach. I said, my son, that is good. Where are you going to preach? I suspect my spirit is perceiving in Sambisa Forest. I like the way you laugh. Say, eh? God couldn't call you to Enugu. He didn't call you to Lagos. He didn't even call you to Abuja. Sambisa. You have no right to tell him not to go. If you do that, you are disobeying the will of God. He's an adult now. He's not your son. He's God's servant. So what do? You pray for him. I say, my son, this looks like a difficult one. Why don't you go? Let me pray. Your prayer is not to help make him not go. Your prayer is to be sure that he actually heard God. And listen to me. Whatever becomes of him after that, you learn to worship and thank God. That's God's servant. That is God's child. He has done with him as he proposed. It is not your business. Your business is to help him get started in life. Your business is to train him. You understand? Once you have done that, your next business is to release him. You don't say, after I carried him for 9 months, you will do what I... Oh, nonsense. You need a difficult daughter-in-law to teach you a lesson. You parents must understand, when the children come of a particular age, you have to let them go. They're not your own. They never were yours. Not ever. That's Christian mentality. You don't have children so they can carry on your business. Let me tell you something about Christian mentality. You can start a business, and somebody else carries it on. All this one of somebody must, my children must carry on my business, is not called Christian mentality. It is the one who is worthy that carries it on. Don't forget, the business is not your own. Let me stop it here.